Sarah wants the abortion law changed in Northern Ireland. Until a few days ago, she and her husband were looking forward to their first baby. They had just got married. Then she learned the heartbreaking news that all was far from well. Her baby was never going to have a life. Sarah decided an abortion was the only option. But the hospital told her that would be illegal here in Northern Ireland. Angry and deeply depressed, she's told me her story.
At the time at the hospital, I was going, when I was told I'm a Catholic, I didn't know what that was. And at the time they said that they don't offer terminations in Northern Ireland. And so my only choice basically was to carry the baby either until it passed away inside me or I can deliver and it would pass away.
Are you okay?
Yep. Sorry, bear with me. So, it wasn't until I had gone home and researched actually what it was, and there's Facebook pages with mothers who have gone through this, and they are all, the grieving process is unreal. It's devastating. I mean, these mothers have all given birth to babies that are dead. And I can't go through with it. I really can't. But here in Northern Ireland, they can't do anything for me because the baby isn't going to harm me, although the baby is dead.
And is there any chance of this baby surviving?
No chance.
None whatsoever?
None. There is no treatment. There is no skull. There is no brain. There is nothing that they can make grow to make this baby live. This baby is brain dead.
Okay.
This baby is, there's nothing they can do, there's no treatment they can give, absolutely nothing. It is just, it's just a body, it's just a dead body, that's it.
And so, you're currently 20 weeks pregnant?
Yep.
What have they told you will happen from now then?
From now? If I was to carry on in Northern Ireland, which you would have to do, they scan you every 2 weeks until they find the baby has passed away, and then they want to bring you in to start you to have labour.
To deliver the fetus?
Yep.
Not before?
No, not before. I would have to wait until, if I was to keep going on, I would have to wait until this baby has passed away. Or if I go to full term, then they will start the labour and the baby will die whenever it's born.
And what about your rights and what you want?
My rights? There doesn't seem to be any rights for the mother. That's just it. There's nothing to say that I have any rights. The baby seems to overrule everything. It's got its own rights, so I can't do anything. I just have to deliver unless I go to England and have a termination there and pay for it myself.
You phoned your doctor.
Yep.
You were given the name of a family planning clinic, is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
What happened to you when you tried to visit that clinic?
When we went down to the family planning clinic in Belfast, there was protesters outside, and on the way in, we were throwing leaflets on our faces. We got past that bit and went in. It wasn't until we were coming out. It was horrendous. We had this protester in our faces shouting everything about how I was doing the wrong thing. I will never forget it. I'm ruining a child's body and all sorts of abuse, and I mean, she literally followed us to the car we were getting into, shouting.
Shouting what?
About what I'm doing, about ruining a child's life. I'll never forget it. Just everything you don't want to hear, and I don't know your circumstances. I'm not getting rid of a child because I feel like it. If this child had Down syndrome, I wouldn't even be dreaming of doing this. But this child is already dead before it's born. There is no choice. I just can't face seeing what's not a baby at the end and have nothing to walk out of the hospital with. I just don't think I could cope mentally after such a traumatic birth to walk out of the hospital with nothing.
These protesters at the family planning clinic were in your face?
I had my mum with me and my husband, and we were, pestered right to the very getting in the car door. You were nearly having to push her out of your way. She was so in your face.
What would you say to those people?
Just told them to mind their own business and go away, and that we would ring the police if she didn't stop.
They would say that they're defending the rights of an unborn child.
Yes, but as the hospital states, this baby does not even have what makes you an individual. There is no brain, there is no skull, you know, there is no head. That is just it.
You want Stormont to change the rules here in Northern Ireland?
They have to. They really have to. There's people out there who don't have the supportive family that I have and can't afford these prices. And in Northern Ireland, we have a 12-week scan and a 20-week scan. The hospitals say you can't pick these sorts of things up until about 14, 15 weeks. So by the time you have your 20-week scan, it is too late. You have no choice. That is it.
What's your appeal to the Health Minister, Edwin Poots?
You need to change the law. Before this happened to me, I did not agree with an abortion. I thought of an abortion as somebody who was having a girl and didn't want a girl, wanted a boy, or had a one-night stand and didn't want the baby. But this is not my choice. And there's people out there like me who don't have choices. This is medical. It may not harm me, but this is a dead body I am carrying, and I am being forced to carry in Northern Ireland because of this silly law.
Are you going to go to England?
I am, yes. Yes, I'm going to England, but the only clinic over there is London that deal with it, because I am 20 weeks. They're the only clinic that will do it. In London, England, there have up to 24 weeks. So any mother in Northern Ireland finding out their 20-week scan does not have a lot of time to consider going over there. I, myself, I'm only married from the 1st of June this year.
You're just married?
We've never dreamed that we'd be having to do this so many months later.
You're just married?
Yes. It's not how you want to start your married life.
Why are you speaking out about this? Why have you contacted me?
Because I think the law needs to change. I really do. It needs to be done here. Everybody needs to have the right, when it's medical terms like this, to have an abortion in their own. I am going away to London where I don't know anybody. I'm not familiar with the grounds. I have no family around me to support me. When all because of this silly law here, I could be here.
Listen, thank you so, so much for speaking to me.
Thank you for listening.
Nolan. We asked the Health Minister, obviously this is an issue, a huge issue to discuss in Northern Ireland. It affects real lives in Northern Ireland. It affects real people in Northern Ireland. We asked the Health Minister to come onto the programme this morning to speak to you today. Let's hear what he has to say. He wouldn't come on and he wouldn't engage with you on the programme this morning, which is a real, real pity, Minister. And I'm sorry, we have just got a statement, literally, that's just dropped with us a matter of seconds ago. It's important, says the Minister, to be clear that any guidance cannot change the law governing abortion, which would be beyond my department's responsibilities. Well, why don't you come on and tell us, Edwin? Why don't we hear your human voice this morning about a human issue where, you know, there are arguments on both sides? Like there really are. Audrey Simpson with us today from the Family Planning Association. Morning to you, Audrey.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
Stephen,
and Bernie Smith from the anti-abortion group Precious Life. Good morning, Bernie.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, go on, Audrey.
You referred to when the woman went to a family planning clinic and was given a horrendous time by protesters. You know that we have protesters outside our building. You know, I've said to you many times about the treatment that they are given by Precious Life, who stand outside our building. And I think that you should ask Bernie Smith to apologise for the treatment that the people who belong to her organisation gave to Sarah.
Bernie Smith, I know that you do not know who the protester was subjected Sarah to this. But would you criticise that protester, and would you say it is absolutely out of order for any protester to be shouting into the face of a young lady trying to find information and telling her that they're killing her baby, that she's killing her baby?
Well, obviously I wasn't there either, and I can assure you that any counsellor in Precious Life or the Women's Network in Northern Ireland would be there to offer a woman support. They would be there to guide her in the right path. I mean, if she was using the Family Planning Association, obviously the main objective of the Family Planning Association is for a woman to have an abortion. The main objective of Precious Life is to love them both, to be there for the mother and the child. And I can understand if that woman was in a distress, obviously.
Yeah, but the question is clear, Bernie. The question is clear and the question is important. From the treatment you heard Sarah was subjected to, would you condemn it?
I would say that because of the mental state of Sarah at that time, that she hadn't been receiving the care and the support to help her through that most difficult period, I can imagine how she felt. But why I can't apologise for anyone who would be reaching out to a girl to offer her and point her in the right direction, pointing her in the direction of an abortion.
Someone clinic, shouting into her face.
Her life even
someone shouting into her face and
can
someone... this is important. Someone
forward.
Shouting into her face and someone following her to her car to the point where she felt intimidated. It is a clear question. Would you condemn it?
Obviously, Stephen, in a distressed state that she may have been in at that time, I can imagine how she may have felt.
Would you condemn that action?
I also can imagine, I can see and I understand fully any pro-life counsellor who was there, how they would have been reaching out in love to that woman.
Reaching out in love, screaming into someone's face?
Abortion does not free a woman from the effects of...
You won't condemn it, will you?
Abortion destroys a woman. And we have seen by studies, a Dutch study had shown that women who abort their babies for any form of fetal abnormality.
You won't condemn it. You will not condemn it.
Stress is actually increased by 50%.
Interesting. Really interesting. You can go on. You can go on, Bernie Smith, about percentages all you like, but you will not condemn a protester screaming into someone's face.
I can imagine how the mother felt during the experience.
Well, you heard how she felt this morning.
Because of how her unborn...
Go ahead, John.
Look, I'm listening to Bernie there and getting angrier by the moment. She's very gentle spoken in a way, but she's not facing up to reality. My wife and I had a baby with Leeson Caffley quite a few years ago, which is a step up from Annan Caffley. I understand what all the Caffleys are. You have Leeson Caffley, Annan Caffley, A. Caffley, Heidi Caffley. Our child had Leeson Caffley. We were told the child would live for 1 hour. That child lived for 10.5 years. 10.5 miserable years when she couldn't see, she couldn't feed, we tube fed her, she needed a tracheostomy, she developed kyphoscoliosis, her limbs disjointed themselves around the hips. We kept her alive for those 10 years, and on one occasion in particular, we could have let her go on a Sunday afternoon if I had taken the advice of the doctor. I now regret not having taken the doctor's advice and let her slip away with what's known as the old man's helper. Like it's like a
that's a big thing for a parent to say.
I can tell you, I fought with bureaucracy in Northern Ireland, looking for help, pleading for help, and received no help. We were left alone to deal with that situation, and that child died on RCT at 10.5 years of age. And you hear people saying about you should let the child be born. If we had known that that child was going to live a miserable existence like that, and we were born and reared as Christian people, we care a great deal for our children, we would have allowed that child to be aborted without a shadow of a doubt. Keeping her alive was a selfish act on our part. That's how we feel about it now. And I listen
yet people would say that your child still had life.
It was the most
and was
miserable.
Entitled was, to life, whether you was, whether you it interpret it as miserable or not, is entitled
it was
to life.
A living death that child suffered. The pain that she endured is indescribable.
Betty wants to speak to Bernie Smith. Morning, Betty.
Good
What do you want to say there, Betty? How do you feel about this?
Well, I'm saying, who tells her that she and her people are right to do this?
To do what, Betty?
To tell people that they can't have abortions.
You've said, Betty, this morning that you're so angry. Why are you angry?
I'm so angry that the like of Bernie and her cronies, and that's what I'll call them, and they can do whatever they like.
Well, do you want to dehumanise me as well and my cronies?
Well, I mean...
In an abortion, we dehumanise the born child.
You're all uptight holy rollers.
But you've asked me a question, and well, I can
ask that question
to tell you why. Because I see the devastating effect that abortion has on women. But I also see that we, as a society, if we provide that support to a woman in a crisis pregnancy, whether it be financial, whether it be moral support, whether it be perinatal support, I see the end results of that. I've never had a woman, I never had a family bring their baby back because we supported them, whatever the case may be. I've been there, and particularly with a case with a young baby whose mother conceived and the baby had trisomy 18. Yeah. I was there throughout the pregnancy with the mother. I was there for the 33 days.
Yeah.
I was there when the family bonded with that child.
That all sounds very calm and collected. The reality is, this morning, you've refused to condemn people who scream into the faces of these pregnant ladies. You refuse to condemn it.
Cameras out then with Precious Life and Women's Network. Why don't you come out and see what we do? Come to our centre.
Why don't you condemn people who scream into pregnant ladies' faces? Why don't you condemn it, Bernie Smith? That's the question.
Any of our members screaming.
Bernie, you're a great speaker.
Offer love and support.
Bernie, hold on a minute, please. You're a great speaker and all, but how dare you let your people...
She didn't let anybody. She didn't know about it, Betty.
Well, okay, she didn't know about it, but they have this attitude... You see, if they had it on my daughter, I'm going to be terrible here. I'd have punched their bloody lights out.
Right. Well, obviously, we can't condone that. Go ahead, Colin.
Well, Stephen, as you know, I've spoken out against this on a number of occasions. Precious Life organisation, which I'm a volunteer, it's very simple in its name. Life is precious. I know Bernie Smith personally. I know people who are volunteers in the place. And they have walked through people like the girl you've had on the radio and helped them physically, mentally, with counsellors. And this morning you have come on and put one side of the view across. You let Bernie speak. But if you're going to do a programme, do it. Give time to the view of the FPA and also give time, equal time, to the people.
That's what's been done this morning.
No, it hasn't.
It has in my view.
No, I'll tell you how it hasn't. I stand outside the place, and we don't protest, by the way. We pray. People think because it's a protest, there's a banner out there.
Right.
The banner is out there for one reason only. The banner is out there because Murray Stopes and FPA don't want you to know they're there. They want to do it secretly.
Well, I think they've been the banner's there
to let public know. That's where it is. Stephen, we help people walk past. Well,
can I give you an opportunity in the limited time we have left here this morning? Bernie Smith was given an opportunity to condemn the protesters who screamed into that lady's face, who followed her to the car. Would you condemn them?
Excuse me, that was my next point. Listen,
I need you to be quick. We're running out of time.
I condemn violence. I condemn people shouting. But here's the thing. That councillor was not shouting. That councillor has got 2 minutes to give people information. Anyone get in there for an appointment.
Okay. Colin, thank you.
So they tell everybody the same information.
Thank you, Colin. Sandra. Morning, Sandra.
Good morning.
You're our last call of the day.
Okay. I'm just ringing to say that the law in Northern Ireland makes me mad. Bernie Smith, does Bernie know what Sarah was going through? Has she been through that? It's all well and good for her to say, I understand. You don't understand.
She's entitled to her views and she's entitled to protect what she considers to be unborn children. She's entitled to do that.
Of course she's entitled to that.
What do you say to Sarah this morning, who will probably be listening?
I would say to Sarah, I totally support everything you did. You should have had it much easier. It was tragic what you had to go through. You should have been able to go through it.
Sarah has told me personally, and let me convey this message from Sarah. She says it is too late for her, but she wants the law changed in Northern Ireland so that no one has to go through what she has gone through.